Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. These words begin many of the regular prayers used by Jewish believers, and they acknowledge God's kingship not only over Jews or their nation, but of the whole earth and the whole universe in its unfathomable, resplendent majesty. This Sunday is called the Feast of Christ the King. It's always celebrated 5 weeks before Christmas, and it is the newest festival in the global church's calendar. It was introduced exactly 90 years ago by the then Roman Catholic Pope, Pius XI. And this was adopted by most Protestant churches to remind Christians that our allegiance is to our spiritual ruler in heaven, as opposed to the earthly powers. Writing in the years after the horrors of World War I, Pius XI noticed that while there had been an end to the fighting, there was no true peace. There's a photo of Pius XI. He wrote this: "Since the close of the Great War, individuals, the different classes in society, the nations of the earth have not as yet found true peace. The old rivalries between nations have not ceased to exert their influence. The nations of today live in a state of armed peace, which is scarcely better than war itself, a condition which tends to exhaust national finances, to waste the flower of youth, to muddy and poison the very fountainheads of life, physical, intellectual, religious, and moral. In the last 90 years, we have experienced the rise and fall of fascism, the rise and fall of communism, a Second World War, the Cold War, wars in the Middle East, in Korea and Vietnam, never-ending conflict in the Middle East, barbarous acts of genocide killing millions of innocent people, and the rise of terrorism exemplified 10 days ago in Paris. It seems like the clouds of war are once again gathering, as political leaders around the world are putting aside their differences and are seeking to work together. It seems that Pope Pius's words, written 90 years ago, are still as true today as they were back then. Today's Feast of Christ the King calls us to reflect upon this particular aspect of God. But when we consider the title King, we rely upon our human experience and understanding. And for almost all of us here today, our understanding of King is not one of King, but more of Queen. That one. Elizabeth II is our monarch. While she is head of state, she has no real power. For centuries, that power has been devolved to the democratic institutions of government. There are still some absolute monarchs in the world, where the very words that they speak is law. But as far as we are concerned here in the United Kingdom, to have such power in the hands of one person is something which has been confined to history. Indeed, the concept of being subservient to someone else, allowing another to have dominion or power over us and for us to obey them, flies in the face of 21st century Western self-determination. The marriage vow, traditionally made by the bride, was to love, honour, and obey. The vow to obey has largely been dropped in more modern services. From our history lessons, we know that throughout history, there have been both good and bad kings and queens. If you read the Old Testament, in the Bible, there are six books: 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. These document Israel's desire to have a human king, the first being Saul, followed by David, and then his son Solomon. These books make for dark reading. Instead of having God as a king, Israel craved to be like the other nations of the time, to be ruled over by a king. However, we read that these earthly substitute kings were, for the most part, godless and cruel. But let's imagine for a moment that tomorrow the phone rings, telling Philip that the Queen wants to visit our church next Sunday. The Queen wants to come to look at the community work our church is doing in our two congregations. What would we do? What preparations would we make? I'm sure we'd have to have an emergency elders meeting to discuss what would happen and what would need to be done and who would do what. The police special branch would come at some point and they need to do a check of the building. The royal liaison officers would come and they would make sure that everyone who was going to speak to the Queen was briefed on etiquette and how to speak to Her Majesty. All kinds of questions come to mind. Would we run our service as planned with the people that were on the rota for next week? Who among us would actually go out and buy a new outfit for the occasion? Would we get our hair done specially? Would we arrive at church next week on time, early? We wouldn't want to be late for the Queen. How many people would come to church? Would it be more than on a normal Sunday? Would we go around and scrub every part of the building? It's said that wherever the Queen goes, she smells fresh paint. Today, we celebrate Jesus Christ as King. How do we acknowledge his kingship as Christians in our daily walk with Christ and the people whom we meet? How do we acknowledge Christ's kingship in our worship and in our church attendance? In 5 weeks from now, it will be Christmas. And in her Christmas message, the Queen always speaks about her faith. She points to her God and our God. She may be the most important person in our country, but she goes out of her way to point beyond her to Jesus. And that brings us to today's first reading, which Stephen read to us. A reading which we're more familiar with hearing at Easter, not in November. The Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, questions Jesus following his betrayal by Judas and the arrest by the Jewish authorities. If you've seen the film The Passion of the Christ, you may remember the scene, this conversation. Pilate really only has one question for Jesus. And it's this one: are you a king? In the Synoptic Gospels, that means Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus, his response is minimal. Only in John's Gospel, which we had read to us today, is a longer conversation between the two men reported. Jesus did not give to Pilate's mind a satisfactory answer. Pilate said that he's not a Jew. But why was Pilate saying that? Maybe it was an attempt to gain more information from Jesus by starting from a point of ignorance. More than likely, Pilate was expecting Jesus to proclaim himself King of the Jews, that he was a revolutionary political leader against the Roman occupation. Pilate was concerned for his own skin, for the earthly kingdom over which he was made governor. But Jesus then tells him that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And then Pilate suddenly found himself trapped in an unexpected situation that was running out of control. Pilate was seeking understanding, wanting to know where Jesus fitted into things. And turning that on its head, today's Feast of Christ the King challenges us to ask ourselves where Jesus as King fits into our lives. The 20th century German liberationist theologian, Dorothee Zöller, said this in her book, Beyond Mere Obedience, about Jesus' kingship. She wrote, We not only accept responsibility for the world around us, but seek to be part of God's transformation of the world. At the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus reveals to Pilate the very reason why Jesus came. Jesus said, I was born and came into the world for this one purpose, to speak about the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to me. The concept of truth is one of the main themes in John's Gospel. Frequently, the phrase, I am telling you the truth, begins many of Jesus' reported words. If you read an older translation of the Bible, Jesus' words begin, verily, verily, which is closer to the words used in the original Greek, amen, amen, originally coming from Hebrew, meaning so be it, and where we get our word, amen. Another theologian, Emily Towns, from America, wrote this about how Jesus' kingship and truth make God's kingdom real in our lives. Truth can be transforming if we seek it through discerning obedience that asks us to look deeply into who we are and what we have become, to try to live into what we can and what we should be. By looking deeply, we must look at what is right and wrong in our actions and attitudes towards others and within ourselves. The military governor, Pontius Pilate, had lost control of the situation. The religious leaders of the day had stirred up the people into a riotous frenzy. The crowd roared, "We have no king but Caesar," itself an extreme irony given their opposition to the Roman occupation. But Pilate went along with the untruth of the religious leaders and what they had told him about Jesus, and this led to the cross. One of the problems people have with the truth is not the truth, it's the whole truth. Some might say that in this increasingly post-Christian era, the fear of losing members and thus losing influence in the community and the nation causes the church to water down its message and its mission in a desperate attempt to maintain position. But if the church does this, the church denies Christ's kingship. And the same applies to us as individuals. If we deny who we are to others, and even to ourselves, if we conceal our sexual orientation or gender identity, then we hide our true selves. Sometimes feeling that we are forced into doing and saying things in order to maintain the feeling of staying in control. But if we do this, we deny Christ's kingship in our lives. But to acknowledge and accept Christ's kingship means facing the truth about our lives and the truth Jesus holds up before us about ourselves. At this time of year, we can't see our glorious stained glass window, so there's a photo of it, depicting Christ the King. And so to our second reading. We don't often have a reading from the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Scholars believe it to have been written in around the year 96. It's a book full of imagery and symbolism, and any preacher, their heart normally skips a beat if they see that the second reading is from Revelation. But I think the book of Revelation has one thing to say to us, that it is a book about hope. In the reading that Stephen read to us, the word Amen was used again, emphasising Christ as King of Truth. The large window in our church depicts the risen Christ ruling as king. And the reading from Revelation reminds us that Christ's presence is always with us. To quote from that reading, "The one who is, who was, and is to come." In that reading, we are reminded that Christ is the first to be raised from death. In him, we have our hope and assurance of eternal life. The reading also reminds us that it is Christ who has loved us from our beginning and who has freed us from our sins by his precious blood. In the darkness of our world, even in these times of gathering war clouds, that reading reminds us that Christ is the ruler of the kings of the world. And so back to the words I opened this sermon with. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. Amen.